Gorgeous Fashion on Radio Gorgeous.
Talking to fashion journalist and blogger who has her own website, That's Not My Age, The Grown-Up Guide to Style. And today we're delving into her must-have book, Style Forever, The Grown-Up Guide to Looking Fabulous. Hi, Alison Walsh. Donna and I are giving you a massive, big Radio Gorgeous welcome to Radio Gorgeous.
Oh, thank you, Radio Gorgeous. And it's gorgeous to be here. Oh.
So, Alison, you were inspired to write a book about Generation Fab 50 and beyond. It's so inspirational because you're saying it's cool to get older, don't shy away from it, and we can carry on being stylish.
Well, that's what I think. I don't know whether that's me having a midlife crisis or... No, actually, I do think when I got to the age of about 40, I went freelance and left Good Housekeeping, and I just started thinking... There's all these really cool people around. There's like all these like very stylish men and women and that are kind of ignored by the fashion industry. And it's almost like there was this cutoff point where fashion catered for young people. And then if you were over 40, you were ignored. So I started That's Not My Age about 7 or 8 years ago now. And that's, sort of, you know, mainly I was sort of banging on about that, about, you know, don't ignore old people. They're actually quite cool. And also just about, you know, about inspirational women, about style tips and fashion and culture and art and anything really that sort of was on my radar that week.
So surely this obsession that the media has of youth and looking younger has been invented by the marketing people because they want us to buy their Botox, their creams, their gels. I mean, hasn't this market, this thing about being young, being invented? Because I don't remember it 20 years ago at all.
Well, I think it was around because I suppose since the 60s, really, there's been that kind of the sort of youthquake, it was called then. It's kind of like, so that's when I think it started. But yeah, I do think that when we were growing up in the 80s, we did see more diversity, like catwalks would be more fun and you'd have a mixture of models of different ages, sizes. You know, it wouldn't all be very young, very white, very skinny girls. So it is kind of... Lost my train. Well, yeah, it is a marketing thing, that kind of... all those, you know, to sort of try and make us feel a bit like, you know, even the term anti-aging, yeah. It's like against aging. Well, that's really negative. And it's an age appropriate. Someone asked me the other day what I thought of the word, you know, the phrase age appropriate. And I just said, I think it's inappropriate today because what does it mean? It's sort of, it's irrelevant. I think I'm 51 and I wear clothes that are similar to someone in their 30s, maybe 40s, 50s. All that kind of, when you're 30, you wear this, when you're 40, you wear that. All that kind of pigeonholing people. I just think it's a nonsense, really.
RadioGorgeous.com.
What do you think, though, with kind of a rise of Grazia and, you know, we are going to be the actual generation who totally carry on being stylish? I do think we've got more chance than anybody else to really take this on board.
Oh, definitely. I think that's the thing, really. I think we are the generation that are standing our ground and going, actually, you know, I don't want to wear crinoline slacks. I'm not going to have a bubble perm. I'm going to wear trainers. I'm going to, you know, wear a jumpsuit, wear denim, wear leather. I'm going to do what I want because when you've grown up with fashion and style, you don't just sort of switch off overnight. You continue, and women want to look good and they want to look modern. And so age is about being ageless, actually. I think age doesn't come into it anymore. And I think finally the advertisers have cottoned on to that and realised that, oh, hold on a minute, you know, about 50, I think it's a couple of years and 50% of the population will be 50 in this country or over 50. So, you know, that's a massive, big market there that they're finally realising don't want to, you know, aren't going to sit at home.
But we've got the money. We've got the power. We've got the money as well.
Exactly.
Young people don't have any money anymore.
No. They don't. Yeah. They don't. Well, we've got some money, not like.
No, but as in we've got. We might even own a house.
Yeah, exactly. They're never going to own a house, but we do. Hey.
Yeah. So we could remortgage to get more clothes.
I was going
to
say that.
Yeah.
That's what I'm using. That's what I'm using my home improvement loan for. Exactly. I live in my home and I need improvement.
Exactly. I don't see what's wrong with that. Can you tell us some super stylish women that go against the Hollywood ideal? I mean, as the Hollywood ideal is the woman who's had the facelift, she's got the hair dyed, she's got Botox, she doesn't look real. Can you tell us who doesn't look real but we still think looks gorgeous?
Oh, God, Tilda Swinton, of course. I love her. I was just watching the Venice Festival thing that's on at the minute, and she just looks amazing. I do think, you know, when you see some of those red carpet awards or the photographs of the best dressed on the red carpet, and I just see this sort of like 10 women and they all look really similar to me. And I kind of think they've all got sort of long dark hair and they're all wearing a gown to the ground and sort of like their faces don't move. And then Tilda comes along and looks like otherworldly and amazing and gorgeous and sort of quite androgynous. And I like that she sort of, I think, is unafraid to wear what she wants.
And what suits her.
Yes.
Suits her as opposed to what you're meant to wear.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she is the muse for a lot of people because of that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who else is out there?
What do you think about Meryl Streep?
Oh, yeah. I love Meryl. You know what? I think she is incredible, like really talented. She's probably one of my favorite actresses, actually. I just think she's ace, and she stands up for women in Hollywood and isn't afraid to sort of speak out about ageism or sexism, all that kind of thing. I think she's fantastic, actually. Yeah. And she isn't, you know, she sort of does her own thing and wears what she likes, but she always looks chic.
So how can we stop our kind of train of thoughts? Because, you know, we look at a magazine, we look in the mirror, you know, and it's all about, oh, youth defying. And then we look in the mirror and we see a wrinkle. How can we kind of reclaim our kind of true confidence?
Well, I think, again, it is, you know, it's difficult when we're bombarded with images of lots of young, gorgeous, you know, dewy skin teenagers. It comes back to that standing your ground, really. That kind of, well, you know, I am older. I do look older, but, you know, get over it. And I just think the more we see, I don't know if you've seen it, there's a new M&S campaign that's just out. It's in The Stylist today. And they've used the longer grey haired model called Evelyn Hoare. And it's just very simple. It's not like the Annie Leibovitz group of women all slumped in a field looking uncomfortable. It's
we're old and it hurts. Yeah.
It's just single pictures of, I think, about three or four different models, and one of them is older with gorgeous long silver hair, looking quite chic in a sort of burgundy coloured coat. And I think the more we see stuff like that, the more we see women in the media and on telly, or, you know, stars like Meryl Streep speaking out and saying, actually, that's not on.
RadioGorgeous.com.
One thing I was thinking of, just lifestyle-wise, that, you know, let alone style-wise, when we think about ourselves, I don't know why we think of ourselves as sort of fixed in our mid-30s. Like, that was our apex, and that was who we are definitively when you're changing all the time. Just because, you know, perhaps in your mid-30s you've looked kind of like you've looked since your early 20s, and, you know, 20s to 40 you kind of look the same and you seem to be moving towards something, whether, you know, that's your childbearing, and so maybe mating and childbearing, those were things you were moving towards and you've achieved now. But, like, why you would think you would statically be that mentally, physically, emotionally, that you would stay fixed in that time, let alone style-wise, is a bit odd. I don't, you know, I sort of, when we go through changes and I think about my physical changes, it's like, well, I want to look like myself. But what is, that's never been a fixed thing. That idea that it was fixed is a foolish notion in my head to begin with.
Yeah, you're right. I've always thought that kind of 35 was was a showbiz age. It's sort of like once you get to 40 or your early 40s, you can kind of still pretend that you're kind of mid-30s, can't you? So I, for quite a while, I sort of pretended I was 35. But then you get to a point where no one is fooled. Everyone can tell that, no, you're not. So I think there is something about that. Again, it comes back to that sort of 40 mark with it. It's sort of like really psychologically, it's sort of in our heads that you know, yeah, over 40, suddenly, past it, over the hill, when really it's meaningless. It's just, you're no different. You're the same. And it's sort of like, I've kind of been wearing the same clothes since I was like, in fact, I'm still wearing the same clothes that I wore when I was a teenager and in my 20s. They're just sort of a bit more expensive versions.
Mine is larger.
Radio Gorgeous, online, on your phone, on a podcast, or on your tablet. Listen anywhere, anytime.